Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the first episode of season two. It has been a while, but we decided that we enjoyed this so much last year. We're going to do it again this year. This is Ear to Ear Podcast with C. Ray and Lanny Moe. I am C. Ray, and for those of you who might not know and might be joining us for the first time, this dashing fella over here is Lanny Moe. You know, dead season. Been a while, Lanny. But kind of a dead season thing. You know, we're not professionals. We're not doing this for a living. We felt that we would rather take a break than to bore everybody with these weekly episodes that maybe didn't amount to anything because we're not professionals. So we kind of took the summer off, enjoyed ourselves, and we're back. Lanny, how you been, buddy?
Good, man. Good. We are not teachers, but we did take the summer off pretty much. So nothing normal, man. Went to Myrtle. That's the West Virginia of the South. Nothing like flying the flag, WVU flag down Myrtle, having the swim shorts on, WVU, my straw West Virginia hat down there, and just catching some rays, but they weren't sea rays. And I'm ready to get back. I cannot wait. Counting down the days to Penn State, and then the rest go from there. But I'm ready to go.
So. All right. Awesome. Me too. It's been, I had a lot of fun doing this last year. And believe it or not, Lanny, I don't know if you've been paying attention. We actually had some people on Twitter that messaged us and were asking, you know, where have you guys been? Like, when you guys are going to put a new episode out? And if I'm being honest, I didn't know that we had anybody out there that cared that much. I didn't. And I'm happy about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm stoked. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. There's actually people out here that actually enjoyed us sitting here, you know, bullcrapping with each other and bouncing off each other for a half hour to 45 minutes. So, you know, let's not disappoint, you know, let's get into it. Let's get this thing rolling again. You know, season two, episode one. We're not going to come in too heavy. We're just going to touch light on some stuff. First thing I want to kind of bring up, I don't know how many people out there are true Mountaineer baseball fans, but J.J. Weatherholt went number seven in the draft. Congratulations on being drafted. Number seven, pretty damn good money. Making a lot more money than either of us. And hit his first dinger last week, right? Hit his first home run as a professional last week in the Mountaineers. You know, I Lanny, you're our baseball aficionado, but you know, how do you feel about that?
Good. I mean, he went to a team. My thing is, I hope he went to a team that can use him. You know, as a he's truly, I don't know exactly the shortstop or second base what he's going to play. Definitely infielder. I mean, no doubt.
Right.
But yeah. I think his natural position second baseman and probably two three hitter. He with the power that he does have for being, you know, he's like a little stick of dynamite, but he can get on, steal bases. I just want to see him flourish and have a good career. You know, if he has a Jerko type of career, that'd be amazing. I mean, I mean, Jerko got his, made his money, avoided major injuries, bounced around some teams, and made every West Virginia proud. So,
right.
JJ, there's no doubt that you know, he has it in him to do it. And he had, you know, the injury really hurt him. You know, I mean, he could have been, honestly, top 2-3 pick. And that's seven. I mean, nobody's knocking anybody for being a seventh best player to go in a, to go in a draft, because no one ever remembers, you know, anyway, who went number 2, 3, 4, 5, hell, half the time number one from draft to draft.
Right.
So,
right.
But he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I just want to see them utilize his talents. So,
and I think they will. I think, he's got too. I think he has too much talent around the board to not be utilized somewhere. You know, I don't think. I think of WVU players in sports that have gone on to the pros and never been utilized. Tavon Austin comes to mind, right? He kind of bounced around to a couple teams, and it's like they never – I don't know if teams just didn't give him a chance or if teams just didn't know how to use him. But, you know, baseball's a lot different. I think he will. I think he'll flourish. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a little better than Jerko, personally. Yeah. Not knocking Jerko. I mean, come on. I mean, he, like you said, he made money, he avoided injuries, and he's had a great career. But I agree. I think the injury – You know, I hate that that happened to him. He could have left last year, maybe went top three, top four.
Yeah.
Let's say last year. Wanted to come back. He wanted to do good things, great things at the university with Maisie's last year. He wanted to try to come back and try to make something happen, and it didn't work out. And I hate that for him. But, again, not knocking somebody that got drafted seventh in the MLB. Or, you know, we're proud of him. And, you know, here's to the best for you out there.
All I can say. Let's roll right into football.
That's really go. Guys, right? As everybody knows, practices have started, everything's kind of blown up. We start with the media days. Something that, you know, Lanny, that we noticed was they didn't have a lot to ask Neil Brown.
It was lackluster. I mean, even Neil thought everything was watered down. He was totally shocked. They asked Jaheim White didn't even get mentioned. They were more talking about, you know, like outer conference stuff. And it was just almost like a waste. It was like they didn't care that Western Union was even there. It was easy for them to pick. They're going to finish middle of the pack. They're going to finish seventh, sixth, whatever it was. I honestly watched very little of it, and I just got annoyed. It was bland. And right. I just don't know how to take that. It's almost disrespect even more whenever you're coming back after a surprising year, very surprising. He got his ass off the hot seat, and all it did was put a little bit more of a target on his back in a way, not as far as hot seat, but as far as, okay, where do you go from here? Your expectation, you raised the bar a little bit, so now can he take the next step? Because he took a little pay cut to pay his assistants, you know.
Respect.
And so it's like, what are you going to do? And my thing is, I've argued this. One of my best friends in the world, we got into a big-ass argument over it. 10-win coaches make $9 million a year, $8 million a year. And, you know, you got Neil, $4 million. If that's all you're paying him, your expectation of a $4 million coach is about 5 wins at this level, you know? So if he wins 6, 7, you're getting your money's worth. And I hate to say that, but that's where they're at. If it's 7, if you're paying a guy $7 million, his ass better be winning 8 or 9. You know, $8 million, 9 and 10. $10 million, Kirby Smart money, you know. So it's I just think that's where we're at. And it's a matter, and I'm almost afraid in a weird way that Brown's evolving. He's really, really grown on me. I don't think he's the best coach Western has ever had, by no means, but it's one of those things where he has changed, evolved a little bit. He's got the quarterback that he's always thought he could get with Green. And we're never going to see a draw. That's his thing. We're going to see dual threats for the rest. And that's where Neil's setting at. It's going to be like a kind of like a weird, not option, but it's going to be spread and run. If it's not there, Green can run. If for some reason Nico steps in, Nico can run. The guy they got from they brought a transfer from BYU. The kid can run, you know, a little bit, even though it's BYU. Right. But but still, yet though, what do you think of this offense? We'll go offense.
We'll go
defense.
Going back on some of the stuff you just said. First off, the media day thing. To me, I don't know if I would call it disrespect. To me, it's about right. And here's why I say that. We had 5 years of Neil Brown football so far. And in those 5 years of Neil Brown football, we've had one good year. I've said it 100 times. 2020 to me does not count as a winning season. Oklahoma was on that game, was on that schedule and got canceled. God, who was it? I can't remember who it was in the beginning of the year. Maryland and somebody else was on the team on that schedule that year, and they got canceled. We finished 500 at best that year. I'm sorry, people don't grow like that. I said that. That's my feelings about it. But 2023 was the year that, for me, it was the floor was 8 wins. with the team that we had, when the schedule that we had, we needed to win 8 last year for me to support him. And I mean, not that my support means anything to the man. He's cashing his checks. He don't give a crap about me. That's fine. But that was my bar, and he did that. So, hey, I'm a man of my word. I'm a lot of things. Liar's not one of them. And I'm here to support him this year, but he's got to take the next step.
And that step's what? What do you think that next step is?
That next step surely cannot be backwards. That is for damn sure. If we come out of this season with 8 wins again, and eight win regular. My line last year, I've said it 100 times. I'm sure everybody that probably is tired of hearing it, was 8 wins and either a bowl win or a respectable bowl loss. That was my line last year. Okay. Now, had we gotten 7 wins and gone to a bowl and beat the crap out of somebody in the bowl, I may have been able to saddle with that. But 8 wins, bowl win, good bowl loss was my bar to even want to come to the stadium this year and not sell off my season tickets. He did it. He accomplished that. Great. Let's move on to the next step. Can't go backwards. If we come out of this season again with 8 wins, and same thing, except I don't want a bowl loss. This year it's 9 wins, 8 regular, bowl win. That's the
okay. Okay. You win 9 regular season games, your bowl, well, you're in the top 25.
Well, no. Eight regular season
is
my floor. What I'm saying is I'm essentially okay with having the same thing happen this year that happened last year. Okay. 8-4 with a bowl win. Okay. But that can only fly one more year. If he were to go 8-4 this year, win a bowl, next year it's like, okay, we got to kick it up a notch. Time to get up into that 9, maybe 10 win bracket. But all I'm saying, this year can't go backwards. Rome wasn't built in a day, right? It took us 5 years to have one good football season with the man. If you start going backwards, and that means you're telling us that out of every 5 years, we're going to have one good season. That's not good enough.
Well, I think 10-win seasons, don't quote me on this, but I think it's something ridiculous. West Virginia only has like a total of 8. Ever.
True, and, but we only have 8 because – now, let me ask you this. Do we only have 8 because that's only as good as we are or have ever been? Or do we only have 8 because maybe at certain times we didn't have the right coach? Dana could have had more than what we had. 1 10-win season that year with do you have two? What was the 2016 with Howard? What was 2. The other one?
Because it wasn't. Remember.
I thought he Will had Greer's. Two. Will he Greer's senior year didn't. They didn't get 10. They went 9-3, didn't they? Or 8-4.
I think I do not remember the year, but yeah, he had 2. Rich had 3, maybe 4. 10-win seasons, and then Nealon had
2 for sure.
Two for sure, because he had 2 undefeated and then lost the bowl, that lost national championships.
Right.
So, I mean, it's 10 wins aren't – they're not given, you know.
It's not.
But I think it's just one of the things where, with me personally – if you got to watch your ass because you win too many games, you're not playing the number 18, 19, 17. You're playing the number 14 team that just missed the playoffs, you know, because he's got 12 now. And that's going to be a whole other episode there when we start talking the 12 team playoff thing. So, but you got to watch. There's going to be 2 teams in the Big 12. Make the college playoff. Facts. I'm saying it right now. 2 teams, number 1 and number 2, will be in the college playoffs this year.
All right. Do you think one of them is going to be Utah? Because those guys think their fans think they're going to come in here and run this conference.
I think Utah's going to shit the bed. I just believe that. I don't believe in that Cam Rising.
Man, who was the team last year? Was it UCF? Or BYU, one of those 2 teams. Oh, it was Houston and UCF. Their fans were like, "Yeah, we're going to run Big 12. We're going to finish in top 5. This isn't a problem for us." And all they all finished in the bottom four spots last year.
I don't think Cincinnati won a Big 12 game.
No, but Cincinnati wasn't running their chops coming into the conference either. I mean, I don't think Cincinnati expected to finish where they finished, but they didn't come in running their chops like UCF did, saying, "Yeah, we think we can win this on our first year." It's a big step up when you get to big boy football. But that's neither here nor there. They, like you said, that's in a whole other episode.
Yeah.
But going back to your question, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
You asked me.
I was going to say offensively. What do you got? Just shoot off your hip. What do you got?
So Jaheim White is like my favorite offensive player right now. I love how last year he scrapped for every yard after the hit. I mean, he would take a hit and he would give everything in his body to get an extra yard. So I've got mad respect for his work ethic and what he's willing to do to get that extra yard. It's impressive. And he's good at it. So many times last year, he was just one footstep away from busting an 80-yard homer. You know, it happened so many times, and I think it's going to happen this year. Now, my problem with Green, and, you know, a lot of people know I'm a big Nico fan, and we'll cover that in a minute because I've got some things to say. But Green improved a lot last year. He did. But I still think he's going to have problem hitting those 10-yard slants and those, you know what I mean? And
until he proves you wrong. Until he proves you wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at the mid. I think he's good at the mid game. You know, he's got them 20-yard, 30-yard passes where he can hit some guys, but he's inconsistent. And from what I understand, he's still having some issues with the layups, if you want to call him that. He's still having issues making the layups. And that's the stuff really that what games come down to, you know, where it's third and six and you got to get a first down so you can get another set of downs to keep trucking and you can't hit a 10-yard slant. That's a problem. So I don't know. I would like to see him progress this year, but I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to be there. I've heard from different people that he still seems to be having trouble with the long ball and he still seems to be having trouble with hitting those short, medium routes that are going to get you the third and six, third and seven that you need.
Here's where I'm at with it. You have the most, and I can say this because I'm speaking with my heart, the most complete back in Jaheim White. He reminds me of Avon Coburn so much, it's unreal. Can catch the ball out of the backfield, can get to 1, 2, 3, and you better be ready. Because next thing you know, here comes a 30-yard run.
Yep.
And it's just one of those things. He did it in the bowl game last year. He did not have a very good bowl game. It was chip away 2 yards, chip away 4, chip away, and then next thing you know, here came the 25-yards run in the fourth quarter that he finally busted. That's coming. But they're saying he didn't play until like fifth game of the year last year.
It was like the fourth, I think like, it was the fifth game of the season.
Yeah, because he was a true freshman. He didn't know how to practice. Yeah. Now he knows nutrition. He knows his body, what it needs to do. He learned how to practice well. Now they're worried about the sophomore slump. Is there a sophomore slump? The biggest thing is keeping him upright, keeping him, you know what I'm saying, keeping him from getting hurt, because they talked about how I don't want to say bad. Bad's a bad term, but it's one of those. Donaldson, did he have a sophomore slump? No, the boy got hurt.
Right.
His shoulder got hurt. And I think he was hurt Penn State. And he was not right for the next six games.
He wasn't right. He wasn't right for most of the season.
He wasn't right. The most of the season, he wasn't right.
Yeah.
So you're going to see. This offense is absolutely loaded with weapons everywhere. If they don't average, it'll shock me if there's a game that they score under 30 points. It'll absolutely shock me. And I'm talking anybody, any team. This team should be able to score at least 34 plus every single game, hands down.
Oh, man. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, Lanny, and you know this as well as I do. And if we can average 34 to 35 points a game, we're going to win more than 8 games. I don't know that we can do that. And I'm putting it out there that I want to be proven wrong, because this isn't me being down on the team. It's just taking a realistic view. That's a lot. That's a big ask. You're talking 4 to 5 touchdowns every game.
I think they are fully capable of that, of scoring a touchdown plus a quarter.
Capable
every quarter. 7 capable points.
Capable, sure. It's kind of like the difference of possible versus probable, right? It's possible. Right. Hell yeah, it's possible. I think you're right. If you look at it on paper with, you know, what we brought back, and that's one of the things I do like about this team is offense and defense. We brought back the nucleus of what got us to 8-4 last year.
Yes, yes.
So you have to build on that. And you can't go – and that's why I said you can't go backwards. We brought all the pieces back. It's not like we went 8-4 and guys jumped ship and transferred and guys graduated, which a couple did. But you know what I mean? The nucleus. We kept the biggest parts of what we needed that got us to 8-4 last year. So you can only expect to go 8-4 again.
And I don't want to hear about who we lost. Everybody knows who we lost.
All right.
NFL graduated. We didn't, you know what I'm saying, or they just moved on with their, you know, their career, and they had 1 year left. They did the graduate transfer thing,
right?
Offensively and defensively. I want to talk about the players that are here now.
Right.
We have a center that is very capable. He's not going to be an All-American. We all know that. We lost the All-American. I don't even want to talk about him. He now plays for the Steelers. God bless him. I want to talk about the players who we have now. And, you know, we have probably a top 5 left tackle in the nation. And, you know, Wyatt Millam, he's going to be in the top 60 players, top 70 players drafted in NFL next year. We got an elite pass catching tight end, 6'7",
Cole. If we do not use him in damn near every play we run this year, it's criminal.
One way or another. And you bring the number one JUCO tight end and this kid's 6'5", 245 himself. That's a pass catcher and blocker. So you can actually go double tight ends, and you're talking, you got 13 foot of tight end out there between those two running down the field.
So, you know, and this goes back to what you said, why you think we should easily average 35 points a game. And that's why I say possible, but will we execute it? Because guess what? At the end of the day, Cole can be 6'7", 250 pounds all damn day. But if Green can't hit that 10 to 12 yard slant that a tight end likes to run, then what the hell does that matter? Execution. We got. He's got to execute this year. And I'm not saying he won't. There's going to be people say this, be like, "Oh, you're down." No, I'm not. All I'm saying is he made a lot of steps forward last year, and that's great. But he's got to make some more steps forward this year. He could be an elite quarterback.
Yes,
very. Combined with his running skills, if he could get that stuff down in that mid game, he could be an elite running back. He could be an elite running back too. I think I meant quarterback. My bad. But imagine this. Imagine 2 tight ends, 6'5" each of them on each side, your quarterback, and 2 horses of running backs behind the quarterback. As a defense, how the hell do you plan for something like that? What do you do?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why Green is the key to that, because if Green can make the right decisions, if he can read the defenses better and he can make the right checks better and he can make those short game passes here and there, defenses are going to line up and see two tight ends, our receivers, 1, sometimes 2 running backs in the backfield, like, okay, shit, what do we do?
But like, that's exactly what they should be thinking.
Right.
I mean, in all truthfulness. And with the wide receivers, we don't have any wide receivers that jumps off the paper when you go to, you know, scheme against them that's going to, you know, this guy here, oh my God, they got this guy. We don't have that dude, but it seems like Hudson Clement only catches touchdowns. It just seems that way. Ronnie Gallagher is about to go berserk. I truly believe he's the next coming of a scat back that we do have that you put in motion that's the speedy option type of guy. You brought in the dude from Oklahoma State, 6'2". And the guy from Mississippi State, another 6'5", wildebeest out there running around. And it's like you're just building the blocks, and it's like Chad Scott and Brown are wishing that they could snap two footballs, because it's a shame there's only one to throw around or hand it off. You know,
instead of having one or two guys that are top level that we have to go to every play, we've got 5 to 6 guys that each any one of them can have a game while everybody else. It's kind of like, I don't know how many people watch The Office. What's better, a little bit of really good pizza or a whole lot of pretty good pizza? I would take a whole lot of pretty good pizza, you know, if I'm sharing it with people. And that's kind of what this reminds me of. It's like, okay, so we don't have one guy that's going to go in the top 5 next year in the NFL draft. That's fine. We've got 5 or 6 guys that defenses, okay, he's not the star player, but we can't not keep an eye on him.
Right.
We got 5 or 6 guys that aren't elite, but defenses are going to have to account for. Okay. I mean, you've got so many skilled players. You've only got so many guys that aren't going to be hanging out on the line on the defense trying to stop the run. Yeah. Well, we got to move a couple of those guys back because the receivers are killing us. Great. Let's put 2 running backs in the backfield and let's go from there. I mean, it's there, but we have to execute it.
Well, Chad Scott in the interview the other day said, we are coming up with multiple ways to get Jaheim the ball in different areas. We're coming up with multiple ways to get Cole the ball in space more. And it's just the schemes. I just feel it's just going to be nasty. I think this offense is going to be nasty, and you're going to tell me I'm nuts and people can do whatever. And believe me, I'm absolutely crazier than hell. I think Garrett Green can truly have Johnny Manziel numbers. I really believe that. I think that he could throw for 3,500 yards and, you know, 30 touchdowns and run for another 15 and another 700 yards. I really believe that, because I think Garrett Green could average, you know, 70 yards a game rushing, moving the sticks, just rolling out. And or if you come up on me, I'm going to throw it. If you drop back on me, I'm going to run it. And the play action, and I just think there's just so – this is going to be fun. This offense should be electric and fun to watch.
I will say this, and as down as I have been, I contemplated on wearing a brown bag on my head to some games last year, Lanny. Okay, I did.
Fair weather.
Listen, man, fair weather my ass. I have missed one home game since
that
I was
18
years old.
That has nothing to do.
One. And you know what? I have sat there and watched us get our rear ends beat for 4 years by multiple teams until Neil Brown finally got his head out of his ass and decided, what I do in G5 probably isn't going to work here. I need to mature a little bit. And he did. And I'm here for it.
Yo, he drove me crazy because he was completely happy in a 7-point ball game in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God, no! I know.
Whether up 7 or down 7, he it was almost like he just wanted to tell the press after the game, we was there, we just didn't get a bounce our way or whatever. And I think that mentality of him is gone.
I think it has to be the Houston game last year.
He believes now that
The Houston, sorry guys, Lanny kind of glitched there on us. But the Houston game last year for me, I think was the turning point for him, because before halftime we get up 7, we get up 10, and he's like, "All right, we're going to ride this out, and we're going to ground and pound." And then bam, next thing you know, it's a tie game, and it's like, "Oh crap, okay, because I noticed after the Houston game, if he got up 7, he'd get up 10. If he could get up 10, he'd get up 17." I mean, he did it after that. And I think the Houston game for him was that switched. It was like, yeah, okay, these 7 to 10 point leads are nothing in Power 5 football.
No, they're nothing. It's okay. It is completely fine to beat somebody by 21, 28 points or whatever. Yeah. Because guess what? They're going to do it to you. And I'm telling you all right now, you're hearing it here first. Neil Brown took it personal last year at Penn State whenever Franklin had I think they're up 13 with 25 seconds left
and ran it
in and ran it in from the 4-yard line. And he's, you know,
yeah.
And I'm telling, and if you didn't take that personal, I lost respect for him, because on my team, you come to my place next year, I'm running up as on your ass as much as I can. I'm not going to play for another 10 years, 12 years, whatever the contract. you worked it out. And that's how I am with everybody. Steve Spurrier had the number one line I've ever heard in my life. If you don't want 60 scored on you, don't schedule me. Don't blame me for your bad defense.
Right.
That's what he, you know, and right. That's just the way I see it. So anyway,
I think you know, this is the only game I'm going to talk about, because the next week we're going to dive into the schedule and we're going to give out some official stuff. But I think as far as the Penn State game goes, last year, you know, my thought was we don't have a chance. We're going to go up there, we're going to lose. Now, up until that last minute touchdown, it was a respectable
loss. It really was.
It was a respectable loss, but it was a crap performance, you know. But this year, I have to be honest, for the first time in Neil Brown's career as our coach, I'm actually excited for football season. Lance, I'm not kidding, man. You know how I am. I'm there every Saturday with you. Last year, dude, me and the wife, we had some talks about how many more years are we really wanting to drive to Morgantown every Saturday just to not, you know. And everyone's like, oh, well, it's about the tailgating. It is, but I don't tailgate like I used to. I don't tailgate like I don't drink like I used to. I don't tailgate like I used to. I go up there because I actually enjoy watching the games live. I enjoy that. I like being there for that stuff. And
people don't realize our tailgate, this is what we do. With 20 other people, we talk about what happened in the week, what's going to happen next week, what happened here, there, college football. It's not just West Virginia. And, you know, it's our friends. And anybody who wants to stop by our tailgate, we'll drop that here in a couple weeks for you too.
Right. So absolutely.
But, yeah, I hear you. And this is my father's. I get my tickets through my dad. This is his 47th year WVU season football ticket holder. So I'm going to have a little talk if I possibly can. I want to see if WVU will do something. Dude, he gets no discount. He doesn't get any type of whatever. I just want like a tiny little plaque. WVU should give more back to their fans. I really believe that. We never asked for upgrade seating. We never asked, you know, nothing. My dad was a WVU employee for 27 years. Also on top of that, I was born and raised here in Morgantown. And, I'm just proud to say that I set my ass in the same seats. These are my seats. They're mine. They are mine. I want to take a grinder to them and take them home with me and bring them back, you know?
You could bring a grinder and just grind lane mode.
No, what we do, we pay for the padded seats to keep people from squishing in.
We started doing that last year. Me, on the other hand, not so many years. But I didn't really have the money to go to a lot of games as a kid and stuff. But since I turned 18 and went to college, I've missed one home game, and it was when me and the wife got married. Which, Laney, you know about that, being in my wedding. You missed that game too. But I enjoy it. I enjoy being there in the stadium to be a part of those things when they happen. So for me, it's not, well, I go up there to tailgate and hang out with my friends. No, I go up there to see Laney, because that's the only time I get to see him through the year.
Hey.
When we might be able to get together and golf. But like, I go up there to watch the games live.
And you do something that a lot of like people don't realize. Like, I take it for granted. You drive from Charleston. We have friends of ours that drive from New Jersey. They come down Thursday night. They take their Friday off. And I saw something one of my buddies, Baker sent us. Shout out to Bake. West Virginia is the number two highest college football game for a family to attend.
Oh yeah,
as far as the and that's just the tickets, the food concession, the parking. You throw everything in. Nationally, we are number two for a family of four, the most expensive. Number two nationally for a family of four. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous that it's that way.
I will say the university has taken some steps to try to.
They have.
And that, you know, they got these family pack games. They have family day.
They did a new kid zone right there by the teal lot. So you got the teal lot on the left side of the stadium by Willowdale, and then goes light blue, and then wraps around that way toward Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah,
but
I tried to get into Bouncy Castle last year, and they wasn't having it.
You were 6 pounds too heavy.
Just six. Mm-hmm. Almost, yeah. Man. Though I lost those 6 pounds this summer. I'll be getting in that bouncy house this year.
So defense. Let's go defense real quick
before we I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I'll be honest. I don't recall if we got anybody of any kind of huge significance. If there's anybody out there, please comment and tell me otherwise. I feel like we didn't lose a lot.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing with the offense. We kept a lot of, I'm really excited, Audrey Burks.
He's going to replace Beanie. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Pretty much. It's plug and play in a weird way. You got a couple transfers. I mean, the whole defensive backfield is going to be revamped with guys coming back from injuries. Same thing with linebackers. We got the kid from Penn State. Penn State on my mind. We got the kid from Ohio State. Trotter's healthy. Cutter was a true freshman playing last year, way undersized. He's back. He's got a year of growth, a year of film. Beiser is going to be playing his senior year. I'm really pumped for these linebackers. They got a kid that's a transfer, junior college kid, French. The kid he hasn't played a year yet that he hasn't had like 60 some tackles. Last year, he was JUCO, whatever the lower division, All American. He is an undersized guy that kind of like a Bruce Irvin type, high motor. Little bit of, you know what I'm saying? Bruce was not 260 pounds, 270. Bruce played 255, 260.
He hit like he was 270.
And that's what this guy is. This guy's I'm going to go the whole game. Defensive line is no name. It's a no name defensive line. Nobody really knows. There's no steals anymore.
I think our defensive line is kind of – I'm looking at our defensive line kind of like I'm looking at help me out. Who's taken Frazier's place?
Yates.
Yeah, thank you. I kind of look at it as the same way I look at him taking Frazier's spot. You're not going to find any high draft picks there. You're not going to find any elite All-Americans there as of now. I mean, who knows? You know, anything can happen. Somebody can break out and be that person. I'm saying just the way it looks right now on paper. But they're going to get the job done.
Yeah,
absolutely. I feel like okay, they're going to at least hold teams close enough to where if our offense performs like we think it should, we can win games.
That's exactly how I feel. I don't need you. I just need you to just keep them in the 20s, low 30s, and we're going to have a chance at every game. I just believe that. You're going to see some flying around on this defense. Absolute high motors with a lot of movement going on, and it's gonna be so fun to watch. I just can't wait. And we'll be throwing out some the schedule game by game stuff here next week or so, and we're gonna dive deep. We'll do some research a little bit, so we're not just so fly by night. And it's truth. You know, we are not stats guys. We look up a little bit of stuff here and there. And
I mean, I'll be a stats guy after the season starts. I mean, for right now,
I won't be. I'll make up shit.
I got your back, buddy. I got the stats for you. I think I do. I'm excited for the first time in a while. I'm truly excited about this year. I think the Penn State game is going to be if we win, I think it's going to set us up for a very successful season because guys are going to be flying high. We're going to go into Albany, tune up, and we're going to go up the Pit and beat the crap out of Pitt. And I think if we beat Penn State, I think we start 4-0. And I think it's going to be a lot of buzz around us for the first time in a while. Yeah. We lose to Penn State. I don't think it destroys the season, but it's probably going to be on the lower end of my expectations, I think. But who knows?
Who knows?
We'll talk about it next week.
We will dive into this very, very soon.
Yeah. We'll get more in depth next week. So, guys, anybody out there, we appreciate you guys. Those of you that message us and was like, hey, when you putting out another episode? We are heartfelt for that. We didn't know that anybody out there gave shit enough to want to actually see it. So we're really happy about that. So thank you for that. If this is your first time, we hope you enjoyed it. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll be putting these out every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. for you guys to listen to and put some comments.
Please comment. You know, whether it's good, bad, ugly. Well, we said something wrong. You want to correct us, or you just say, man, I love listening to you two idiots, or we don't like listening to you. This is what we do. This is not our jobs. We're not affiliated with WVU. We are two dudes from episode one last year. We're two dudes sitting in our man caves, pretty much talking WVU sports. That's all it is. And if we hurt feelings, so what? You know, if you say something mean about me, I'm fine. My wife still might love me tomorrow. I don't know. But
I'm not fine. I have glass feelings. I have glass feelings. Please don't hurt my feelings.
But please like, subscribe. If you want to see, listen to us more. That way you'll get alerted when we put something else out there. And we're going to, I know, Corey, I am not, I can barely get my stuff to charge half the time. I'm not a technical person. But, C-Ray is going to try to get us out there on more platforms, more ways to listen, whether it's Apple, iTunes, hell, I don't know, Tesla might be coming out with something. C-Ray is going to try his best to get us out there a little bit more. And just like, subscribe, comment, and we'll go from there. C-Ray, finish this up, bro.
Hey, man, everybody, guys, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
I hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.